That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You get to an offer that you think is fair and it's what you're looking for. You know, there wasn't a reason to wait. Will we be active on the deadline day? I still think there's a chance that we do make some other moves. Again, whether it's players that are under contract or not.
It is 8:03, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That is the voice of Maple Leafs GM Dave Nonis. So a few questions. How long will Dave Nonis be the GM? Nick Kyprios says he'd be stunned if he was back next season.
But he did also tell you that you could have traded Daniel Winnick. And I don't, you know, you're lousy with paperwork. You don't pick up the phone. I'm not 100% sure you made those
calls. I wouldn't dial
calls.
The right number for the NHL.
I know you'd be
conference.
Hanging up on Tyler Bozak trade requests. So I just don't know that you're the best fit for the job.
We're not taking offers. Slam.
The hell with Malkin. We don't want him. Forget it.
Did you like the Daniel Winnick deal yesterday? Daniel Winnick moves out. He's a Pittsburgh Penguin, a second-round pick in 2016, a fourth-round pick in 2015, so this year. And Zach Sill, who is basically just an expiring contract minor league guy, coming back. And the other question here is, are the Leafs done? We have 4 days to go until the trade deadline. The percentage of the big boys moving is slim, but yes, they are trying to trade Luepel. We still kind of don't know on Bozak, Jokinen, Corbinian Holzer, David Booth. Is there anything that can be done there? So lots to get into.
Lots to get into. Our number is 416-870-0590, *590. You can text us at 590-590. We are on the tweet boxes at BradyFan590 and Fan590Walker. Did you like the return of value for the Winnick deal? Who's the next player you want to see traded? And I'd even ask a caveat to that question would simply be, does this still merit an entire turnover, or pretty damn close, of the roster? I still am of the mind, Andrew, that there's some good talent here. Sometimes I feel like you've had to convince me, and sometimes it's been successful, that this team has a lot of body parts, no pun intended, Joffrey Luepel, that other teams would desire. But then if they desire them, why not keep your core? Why not say that, yeah, we need to build around Phil Kessel and around Dion Phaneuf. And, of course, we love Morgan Riley. We want William Nylander to play. And we've got other sort of body guys, Kadri, that Holland, that we think can fit into what we're trying to accomplish here. 416-870-0590.
Well, you can't trade everybody, but you can't keep everybody. That seems like a broken theory as well. The one thing, because I think the average fan says, that's it, scorched earth. Trade everybody, and I want everybody out now. And here's the thing that people say they're accepting, but I don't know if they completely understand how it all works. If you really want complete teardown, like if you want your team to finish 30th, they're going to be 30th for a while. That's how it works. And if you want Kessel out and Phaneuf out and Luepel out and JVR out or whatever, well, it's not going to be in the next 4 days. It's going to be in the next 2.5 years, and then you're still starting from scratch.
You need a really unique scenario like Pittsburgh with a lot of low picks. You got to bang them all. You got to get a lot of second and third round players to play.
Pittsburgh
and
was
you need
really
trans,
bad for like
right.
almost a decade.
But you need transcendent talents, and that's what the Malkin back-to-back and Crosby. We're transcendent.
Taylor
talents.
Hall and Nugent Hopkins and Neil Yakupov are not transcendent.
Not the
talents.
Same players. And then there's the whole second round pick thing. They don't have one this year. Quickly, let me run down what they've done in the second round from 03-04. John Doherty, never played. 04, didn't have one. 05, didn't have one. 06, Kuhlman. Okay, he played. 07, didn't have one. 08, Jimmy Hayes, played for somebody else. 09, Kenny Ryan, hasn't played yet. Brad Ross, won't play. Tyler Biggs, forget that, won't play. They traded a second to move up in the first. Matt Finn, might play. Didn't have one, don't have one this year.
Right.
Terrible. That's a terrible 12-year stretch of guys you're drafting between 31 and 60.
But that said, again,
big reason why
this is part of the rebuild. The one thing I hate is when fans say, when they're underwhelmed by draft picks are a crapshoot, and we'll just waste them anyway because we're no good at drafting. I'm not saying you have to be overly happy with the value that the Toronto Maple Leafs organization has gotten out of their draft picks over the last 10 years, but there's one way to do this. There's one way. And that is either to get extraordinarily lucky or get more draft picks. More picks and more prospects. I like getting Brandon Leipzig from Nashville in lieu of a pick. Yes, I like that. I like the couple of years of development. But it's just more chances. It's more bullets in the chamber. And that's what the Santarelli deal, that's what the Winnick deal gives you. If I give you, hey, make this 20-foot putt, Greg, which is, you know, the equivalent of, I don't know, a third or fourth round pick, you might miss it. But if I give you four cracks at it, you're going
to
hit one.
You need to take, if somebody's bugging you in your office or your workplace and says, it only matters the first round, second, third, fourth, go to HockeyDB, make a list of the guys drafted in the second round the last 8 years. It'll blow your mind who you can get at 50, 60.
Sure.
And yes, later on in the third and fourth round. Of course there's some misses. Of course there's some guys that are like some gawky 6'6" high school player out of Massachusetts. They never play. Yes. But that's when, put it this way, Andrew, if you have four picks in the second and third round, you will really reach on a guy because you got the three others. It's like you say, when you play in golf and it's best ball, you got the first guy might take a wild stab at that putt because he knows the other three guys, somebody in the last three guys is going to make it. So he'll hit a worm burner to the green to get it there.
We talked about the other day how, like, again, I'll use this analogy. Let's say what drives baseball fans crazy is when you have a runner on third, less than two outs, and you can't drive him home. And it drives fans crazy because it's execution fundamentals. And everybody thinks their team is the worst at doing it. And the matter of fact is, most teams are not very good percentage-wise at doing it. In fact, everybody is below 50%. Every team out there thinks that their team wastes draft picks. And I'm here to tell you that the most successful drafting teams and the least successful drafting teams, the percentage of guys that play, it's not that far off.
It's not.
It's really, you know what the difference is? The teams that draft really well, quote unquote, I'm making the air quotes, have more picks.
Right.
They have more picks.
Hey, listen, baseball again, when your guy blows a save in the ninth inning, when it's Casey Jansen or Sergio Santos, whoever, you think we're the only team doing that. Look across the league. Four other guys probably did it in the same night. And contenders, look, just get to the playoffs. Look at the Tigers bullpen. Look at the Nationals bullpen. There's no guarantees of all that. Harrison Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 8:10 on Brady and Walker. Hi, Harris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Great show as always. Just want to entertain the idea that since Kane is gone for about 12 weeks, you know, and you can put his salary on the long-term reserve, what about the entertainment of Kessel, you know, possibly going over to Chicago? If I'm known as, wouldn't I at least entertain the idea and pick up the phone?
No, it's impossible. I see where you're going, but the Chicago Blackhawks next year are already way over the salary cap. Now, if Phil Kessel was on an expiring deal, yep, let's talk. But Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews next year will both make over $10 million. They're still paying Hossa $7 and Corey Crawford $6. I'm sure they'd love to add Kessel. It's absolutely impossible unless you're moving Marian Hossa back, which you're not going
to
do.
There's enough people talking already that they'll have to trade one of Patrick Sharp or Brent Seabrook. And then Hossa is harder to trade. Yeah. They owe him $8 million. They owe him $8 million next year.
And you got to extend Brandon Saad. It's like, it's literally, I'm not saying like, oh, you can have this opinion or you can't. It's literally impossible. So no Phil Kessel to the Blackhawks.
No. It's and again, it's one of those scenarios where we've talked about this with Connor McDavid. If you're drafting Connor McDavid, to me, that stops this scorched earth thing dead in its tracks. And at least you're evaluating. You're taking a breather. Put it that way, right? You're counting to 10. You know, don't do something. Count to 10. See if it's still the right decision or the right thing to say. That's what they'll do if they draft Connor McDavid. If they get Connor McDavid
again, when you're yelling for scorched earth, it's going to take a lot of time, and it's not going to be by this deadline. What we've seen over the last month and what we'll see over the next 4 days are just the early rumblings, but the early rumblings of scorched earth.
Lupul's the guy with term that may still go. Holzer's a UFA. Maybe there's bits and pieces and a fifth, sixth round pick you can snag for
Olli Jokinen, a sixth or seventh, and then Tyler Bozak. I mean, and I don't think anyone's biting on David Booth. Those are the guys that we're looking at here.
Yeah.
I'd be like, there's a 99% chance that Phil Kessel is a Leaf after the deadline. And Phaneuf probably a little less, but we're still talking 85, 90, right?
Yeah, I'd say. It's like an 85% chance of minus temperatures the next 28 days. Brad in King City. Damn groundhog. Brad in King City, go ahead. You're on Brady and Walker.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi.
But what the point you guys are making, you just continue to prove how bad the Leaf organization is, not just with picks, but choices they make. Now you got a fire sale, essentially, of good players. Like, Winnick's a good player. The players you're talking about, Kessel, he's been a top point getter the last few years. They continue to do a horrible job. Detroit Red Wings have not had top picks the past 20 years. They've been a championship organization. It's all about choices. And the Leafs, again, blow it up after bad choices. Their whole, from top to bottom, and including Shanahan right now, because he has to take responsibility for this, have done a terrible job.
But what do you want? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to just sit around and feel sorry for themselves that they've made bad choices? You have to move on. You have to start to build.
But listen, they were 10 above 500. They were in the friggin' playoff run. They fired their coach. Another bad choice.
But you knew that wasn't the right coach, and you knew that wasn't a very good team. You didn't change your mind on this team from December 15th to February 26th, did you? You didn't. You knew they weren't very good. They were doing it with mirrors. It was a small sample size. And I'd say again with Shanahan, of course, this isn't just an observational period for him. This does go on his resume this season. But I don't know what would you have him do with Santarelli and Winnick? To me, he played those perfectly. That's the exact thing you should have been doing with those players this year.
It's the exact thing you need to do next year. There's a difference between making this big decision. Let's not kid ourselves. The Maple Leafs aren't making some big decision to rebuild. They have no choice.
They don't have a choice.
They have no choice.
Coming up, Gord Stellick will join us. Let's first do worst tweet of the day at 8:14.
Brady and Walker's worst tweet of the day.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing.
So Dunkin' Donuts has a deal with the Liverpool Football Club. Did you know that? Do you enjoy when you go to the States?
I know that now.
Okay. Dunkin' Donuts has now apologized. They upset a lot of fans after... I do think this is... Sometimes you can be insensitive on purpose. Sometimes it's an innocent mistake. I'm never insensitive. I wouldn't know. I won't speak for you. But the company substituted the Shankly Gates, which are very symbolic. There's the Hillsborough Eternal Flames for
it's the logo.
The tragedy. And the logo and the tragedy in the 80s when they lost a lot of fans in this awful incident. Okay. Well, they took the flames away and put like what looked like iced coffees next to the logo. If it's an eternal flame representing people that are deceased that were fans of your football club, you can't put in iced coffees with swizzle sticks and say America runs on Dunkin'. You'll never walk alone. Big mistake for Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, and they apologize.
There was a lot of fans on social media that was like, that logo with the donuts and the coffee, really insulting.
It was
so they had to apologize.
Now, it should make you thirsty, but it should also make you angry. You can be two things at the same time. 8:16, Gord Stellick is indeed on the way. I don't think the Dunkin' Donuts thing's enough for a 6-part hockey news column about it, but you never know. I don't know. Anything's possible in this day and age.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So go ahead, give me, I want good news, bad news. Do something. Make me feel better. It's crappy outside. The Jays start playing in a month.
Michael Saunders.
Yeah?
Here's the bad news. Newly acquired Michael Saunders is out until the All-Star break, as per Sportsnet's Shai Davidi with the torn meniscus.
So that's the bad news.
That's the bad news.
Give me spin this positively for me.
That's the bad news. The good news is, here I got it. The good news is,
took you long enough.
We know this right now. The good news is Alex Anthopoulos knows this before they've even played their first spring training game. Now, it's not ideal because not only were you counting on Michael Saunders to be pretty good this year and replace some, if not all, of Melky Cabrera, which might be a little far-fetched anyway, you gave up Jay Happ to get him with a year left on his deal. Happ was going to be your fifth starter, and all of a sudden now it's Sanchez or Norris or Estrada, and it's a domino effect. The good news is You know this right now. So maybe you're in more of a hurry now to trade Deion or Navarro, and you're thinking maybe an outfielder
you need,
can come
you
back.
You need a team that's got five outfielders. They dig, sure. But there's not room for one guy.
My point is,
and they need a catcher.
Better now than the day before opening day. There's my good news spin.
You're saying,
and that's I'm reaching.
You're saying that's for Jose Reyes to get hurt during the opening.
No, that's after the first.
Now listen,
the first at bat of the year.
He didn't miss that much time last year after that opening.
That is
day
true. That is true.
Gord Stelica joins us, host of Leafs Nation Pre and Post. The Buds are back at it tonight, hosting Claude Giroux and the Philadelphia Flyers, the hard-charging Flyers, no less. And he'll be, of course, part of trade deadline coverage on Monday here on Sportsnet. Sorry to give you some bad Jays news out of the gate. You'll tell us something positive about the Leafs that can you know, make our spirits brighter. I know you will. I know you can.
Well, I don't know if I can do that, but I will agree with you that it's better to know the news about Michael Saunders now than game three or game four. So I'll give you that. The positive thing is it's almost March, and the weather will get better, and we're counting down to fewer games in the regular season. I didn't expect we'd be in one of these that you knew the season was over with, 2 months. I mean, record time, almost 2 months before the season was done.
You probably haven't had, even when you worked in the league, Gord, a lot of the time, I got news for the youngsters out there, 16 teams made the playoffs then, but there were only five that missed, not 14. So you were almost never out of it this early. Even if you were, 20th or 21st, you were in the hunt for the last 2 months.
No, you're right. And sometimes it would be an incredible battle of ineptitude against another Norris Division rival like Minnesota to the wire. But, I do remember, and it was the year the team came dead last, and Dan Maloney was an assistant coach, and it was about 11 or 12 games left, and we were mathematically eliminated. And the next morning after that, he was putting his skates on for a practice. And he really is a competitor and that way, but he just said, "Don't you wish the season could end today?" And it's true. It's a horrible kind of feeling. And the last couple of years, when the team didn't make the playoffs, we kind of had this race that they were still mathematically in it. And then when they were out. But now it just seems, since this decree came from the board of directors, that everyone's, whether it's Tank Nation or we're going to get Connor McDavid or we've got to start losing early. So it's really kind of bizarre. At least you were mathematically out. Now it just seems they've shut it down a couple of weeks ago.
I got you guys at 20-52-8 that year, and you only missed the playoffs by 12 points.
I know, we were coming on. The season was, it should be like baseball, 162 games.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. I never view an empty Maple Leaf Gardens or Air Canada Center, but with 162 games in a year like that, or this year, there might be, maybe there should be some empty sections, put it that way.
Well, the bizarre part is, tickets are sold, but I found the last home game was pretty good. Like, if you give them an effort like they did on Saturday, I think the crowd can get into it. But, before against Florida, it's like people now are stuck with the tickets, and they're going to their nephew's house league game, and they're bringing like a picnic basket with them. And if they get caught out in the lobby chatting with people, having a drink, or they don't come back, it is weird. It's like a hockey game. If it's an ordinary hockey game, it's going on in a bubble on the ice.
Mm-hmm. The one thing, whether it's the right thing, Gord, or the wrong thing in terms of draft position and Connor McDavid, I think Greg and I are on the same page where it's so ugly when a diehard fan with a jersey is cheering for their team to lose. It's a broken system. So here's my idea. You've probably heard a version of this before. My idea of to get rid of this whole, we want our team to lose on purpose, and there's 10 organizations that feel the same way. The second you are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, that's when you start to accumulate points for the draft lottery. Case in point, if the Buffalo Sabres get eliminated yesterday, every game for the rest of this season counts in the points race for the lottery. Like, so instead of "we need to lose for McDavid," it's "we need to win for McDavid." If you're eliminated on the last night of the regular season from the playoffs, you get no points for the lottery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But then if you you might want to get eliminated earlier than the last night of the season, so you can accumulate points in your system.
I guess there would be the argument against that.
After this year, they're doing the NBA style. It's going to be three teams. So the dead last team theoretically could pick fourth overall. So it's going to be an NBA style lottery starting in 2016. It's just funny. I think it's the proliferation of so much media, which we've benefited from, that people talk about it ad nauseum, and we got to get this Connor McDavid thing out of the way and find out who's got him. I wish he could come to a place like Toronto rather than Arizona or Carolina. Like, seriously. Like, you know, that's, or Edmonton again, or, you know, those kinds of places. But I don't even mind Buffalo. But it just seems the hope, which is less than going to be less than 1 in 10 of getting him, is sustaining people in believing in Tank Nation. So, you know, the third overall pick, if you come third last, you still have less than a 50% chance of getting it, given the lottery. You know, if a team behind you moves up and gets the one overall pick, you move down to number four.
Yeah, I agree. I think conspiracy theories are ridiculous. I think the NBA stuff is ridiculous, the Patrick Ewing stuff. And that said, the Crosby thing was great timing for Pittsburgh. That franchise was on its last legs. They hadn't had Malkin yet in the big leagues because of the lockout
year. Nobody needed him more.
And I'm telling you, Gord, if the Arizona Coyotes get Connor McDavid, that's the only place he could go where somebody would start doing the smell test as to whether this is all legit or not. That's the only place it would happen, I think.
Well, but the other way around is, and much if you go back, we've talked about it so many times, the NBA, and it is so huge when Michael Jordan went to Chicago and Bird in Boston and Johnson in L.A. and Patrick Ewing in New York. I mean, the NHL is aware of that. I mean, the owners, as much as they like to get them themselves, that having these guys in the best markets is best for the league. I mean, if the Toronto Maple Leafs are a giant, can you imagine what it does with revenues? Can you know, it's which is shared in a certain way by their league partners. So I think there's a belief that way. And
You're right. They're not in danger of moving, though. They're not in danger of not being one of the one of the league giants. They're like the Knicks right now. The Knicks haven't had a good player since Patrick Ewing that's been transcendent, and people still keep going. But I know what you're saying. I'm just saying if Arizona gets him, that team needs the stability. That team needs the second they trade Antoine Vermette and get even worse, I mean, I don't think they've won in a month and a half anyway. So,
well, and the upside, okay, so you look at it that way from a magnanimous level that it'll bolster the Arizona team. What happened when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the lottery and got LeBron James? The Gunn brothers sold the team a year later. Like, you're mm-hmm. talking, Connor McDavid's worth like probably $100 million to or $50 million to an owner.
Totally.
Out there.
Totally.
Like, so
great
so
point.
As much as they talk, wow, this is great, hockey's going to survive and thrive here, the guy's going cha-ching, cha-ching, and looking to move on and sell. So, It's like Lindros all those years ago when $15 million was being thrown around when it was big money, whether going to the Nordiques or the Flyers or that. But in the Leaf thing, it's more about the other assets they acquire, the drafts they make, how they develop players. The McDavid thing is pie in the sky, and one of the teams will be able to eat that pie.
More or less than 50% chance that the Leafs are done.
Less than 50% chance the Leafs are done in about trading?
Yeah.
I'd say there's more than a 50% chance.
Yeah, I don't mean playoffs.
Cup contenders.
Yeah, yeah. What, I don't have to go to work today? I think people are excited about the big trades and they won't happen. You look at it, to trade Santarelli and trade Winnick, these are two guys that were begging for deals. This is like getting tired, seeing someone's resume all summer, and finally on September 1st or whenever saying, you know what, we got a spot, let's just make this guy an offer, and he'll come for whatever we do. And to both those guys' credits, they've restarted their NHL careers like Mason Raymond did, and the Leafs have turned them into assets, including a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Granted, they're going to be late ones, but they've acquired assets for two guys that really had no value on September 1st. Getting something for Fanoff or Bozak or Kessel, that's way more complicated. I see that being a free agent frenzy situation.
All right, so it's Flyers-Leafs post-game tonight. Listen, Gord, Thursday night's bar night. Dion Phaneuf's back in the lineup. The Flyers are out. Just get a competent call screening. That's the key for you and Ozzy tonight.
Confident and try to get as many sober people on as possible. Those are the two things.
There should be a breathalyzer attached to people's cell phones.
So the game is on. There's not a 50% chance it's canceled.
Well, Walker was trying to cancel it. I didn't know why.
Thursday is the new Friday. Thanks, Gord.
Thanks, guys.
Gord Stellick joining us. Yeah, post-game tonight. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. Where would you rather be? Flyers, Leafs tonight.
8:35, Michael Saunders. It's breaking news this morning. Toronto Blue Jays' new outfielder, the Canadian kid, their starting left fielder, is out for 85-90 games. He stepped on a sprinkler head and has a torn meniscus.
We know what Alex Anthopoulos has said. We'll tell you what his plan is to replace Michael Saunders, internal or external. We'll tell you what it is next.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is Brady and Walker. We know what people will be talking about. You ever see that movie?
Nope.
The Omen?
They've remade it, too. There's a remake of the... Are you talking about in the last 5 years? Because there was a late 70s Omen movie.
Yeah, well, it's basically, not to spoil the plot, but it's about a bad omen. And you might have got that today. In case you missed it, Michael Saunders, moments ago, we get word from Shai Davidi, Blue Jays' newly acquired left fielder, steps on a sprinkler head. Yes, a sprinkler head. Tears up his knee and is out until the All-Star
break. I was thinking more, you were going to mention there's a Martin Short, Danny Glover movie called Pure Luck, and everything that could happen to Martin Short that's bad. Like, he gets stung by bees and his face blows up, and he falls out of moving cars.
Well,
it's not like
that's
this.
That's it. Season's over. Why won't you guys admit it's over?
Walker's changed his preseason prediction from 102 and 60 to 99 and 63. That's a very...
No, it's not great.
No, it's not good, but... This is why you have depth. That's why you hope you have depth. And I agree with you. If this is April 15th, even if he's played 2 weeks, it's worse news.
Yes.
Because you're scrambling. And you mentioned Deonner Navarro as a factor. By the way, Saunders did miss. Now, he got labeled as injury prone. We debate that all the time in hockey and other sports. Like, sometimes it's fair and sometimes it's not. But he had an oblique injury, cost him 70, 80 games with the Mariners last year when he was actually going quite well. He didn't finish the season very strongly. Mike Wilner, our friend from the Blue Jays broadcast, by the way, which get going next Tuesday on sportsnet590.ca against the Pirates in Dunedin, and then they head to Bradenton the next day to play them. Spring training baseball starts next Monday or Tuesday, March the 3rd. Mike Wilner's kind enough to join us now. So then, you know...
Is it over? Is the season over?
Should they be buyers or sellers at the deadline? Which one? Take your calls.
The first full squad workout is tomorrow, but they might as well just go home now.
I think, yeah. What could they get for Bautista on the open market in May? All right, listen. Are the two obvious names that leaped off the page to us are Andy Dierks, Kevin Pillar. Chris Dickerson. Okay, cock of the walk, Chris Dickerson. But Dierks and Pillar, are they the guys sort of most thrust into the potential extra innings in the next 3 or 4 months?
Well, not Dierks. He wasn't able to report to Major League Camp because his back isn't healthy yet. So, so he's down too. I don't know for how long.
He fell on a sprinkler head.
Yeah, who knows?
He installed it.
He had major back surgery last year, so that's why he was available. But I don't think he'd be ready to answer the bell on opening day. Pillar is an option, definitely, but he's in competition with Dalton Pompey for the starting center field job. I think Chris Dickerson is the guy for me who is the biggest beneficiary of this. He's someone who has had major league success in the past in a part-time role. And, you know, you ask him to just go all out for a couple of months and see. But, you know, spring training hasn't even started yet. So there's still an option to pick somebody up, to make a deal. I don't know if you want to deal Deonner Navarro for a starting left fielder when you've got Saunders coming back you might have an issue there. I'm actually surprised that they're saying All-Star break. I had heard menisci were like 6 to 8 week injuries, but I guess his is a little more severe. There are things they can do. There are people available, and there are people who will become available. The good thing about this is that you're looking at your, you know, seventh hitter that you have to replace. So it's not a key cog in the lineup. It's someone you were hoping was going to have a great year and help you out a ton, and obviously that's been delayed quite a bit.
It is frustrating though, because it's a domino effect, right? Because when you think of going back, okay, so a lot of people wanted Melky Cabrera re-signed, and they go for the value, and they think, hey, Saunders can maybe replace 90% of that, and then to get Saunders, out goes your fifth starter and Jay Happ. What are you left in the deal? And that means maybe Aaron Sanchez comes out of the bullpen, and I mean there's so many. It's just a trickle-down effect, right?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's not a bad thing trickle-down-wise. I mean, obviously you don't anticipate a guy getting injured, and I don't think you can not make moves because you're worried that the guy you get might get hurt in spring training or during the season. I mean, you were right to say that it's better now than April 15th, for sure, but Jay Happ is just a guy. You know, he was... Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris, Marco Estrada all have a chance to be a lot better than Jay Happ. So The Melky thing, unfortunately, Melky was looking for too much, and they made the move, and then all of a sudden his price came down. So there's really not much you can do about that. It's just, unfortunately, the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, as it were.
Mike Wilner's joining us, 8:49 on Brady and Walker. All right, we'll leave this. There's nothing great we can say about it, and we got to find out more about what they plan to do. That's good intel on Dierks. Let me ask you about closer John Heyman saying this is Brett Cecil's job. They will look at the idea of Aaron Sanchez doing it, prefer him as a starting pitcher in the five hole. Is that's everything you know and have heard as well, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to say for now. But the thing is that Sanchez may be better as that, like, two-inning setup guy.
Yeah, yeah, more innings.
He was last year, and then, you know, you can have that big impact in the seventh and eighth from him and allow Brett Cecil to be the closer. But now, you know, they're still talking about Sanchez as the fifth starter. So while they're talking about Sanchez as the fifth starter, well, Cecil's the only guy who makes sense to close. When as spring continues, if Daniel Norris pitches well enough to earn a spot in the rotation, then maybe that tune will change a little bit.
By the way, we're hearing not great stuff about Nick Markakis. I don't know if you caught any of it this morning or not, but he's got more of a he's very much going to the Braves and kind of wanting to stay in Baltimore, and basically saying they spread a lot of negative injury information about him when he was a pending free agent. So he's unhappy about that, but that happens.
That happens. It's surprising that it happened somewhere other than Boston, but that's happened. It's weird, and it's no good. But Nick Markakis, I mean, he should consider himself very, very lucky to get the deal that he did. 4 years, $42-44 million for a guy with like a neck injury going on right now on the wrong side of 30. He should be very happy.
Mike, thanks for taking the time, man. We're excited to hear you down there and hear the games get going, obviously, on Tuesday.
Yeah, first web games Tuesday and Wednesday, and then radio game Thursday night.
Right on. Yeah, at the Orioles, no
Just,
less.
Just playing out the string now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the point is.
You two will be a lot of fun in the summer. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wilner.
All right, guys.
There's Mike Wilner joining us. So, again, to reset this, Michael Saunders stepped on a soft spot around an underground sprinkler on the outfield grass while shagging flies yesterday, had a left knee buckle. Alex Anthopoulos says, yes, there will be phone calls, but yes, they will examine all options internally and externally. I've been saying, how many times have I been saying, they've got to get rid of the artificial turf at their spring training games. They're the only team with turf in Dunedin. I want real grass in Dunedin.
You want real grass? You know what you don't get with artificial turf? Crappy turf? Sprinkler heads.
If I had a dime for all the times I've walked over neighbors' lawns that have those underground sprinklers and torn my menisci.
My knee. Or Derrick Rose himself. It is interesting, though. Derrick Rose, like, people are like, oh, could he be back for the playoffs? And which is, you know, five, six weeks away. And we're talking all-star break for Michael Saunders. I guess there's different grades of menisci tears, but.
Yeah, and you got to think as well, there's just not the, I wouldn't think for Michael Saunders, there's the wear and tear, ground and pound that you're going to get playing 40 minutes of NBA basketball every night. I mean, this is just why guards get to their mid-30s and they break down. Steve Nash, Dwayne Wade, they all break down.
Running backs, too. So there is. The new rules being implemented, the game speed up rules in Major League Baseball, one of them is, and, you know, I think Brett Laurie was famous for this too, his time in Toronto, is taking a long time between pitches. The new rule is, unless something happens, like, you know, a wild pitch or a foul ball or something like that, you can't take both feet out of the batter's box.
Yeah, contact lets you step out and reset yourself.
Right,
yeah.
You have to stay in there. David Ortiz, quite fired up about this. He is not a fan. He spoke at Red Sox training camp yesterday.
After the pitch, you got to stay in the box, basically. One foot. I call that bull.
But do you understand them trying to speed up the pace of the game?
There's no way. It don't matter what they do, the game's not going to speed up. That's the bottom line.
It's only a $500 fine. You think you just soon pay the money?
Well, I might run out of money. Period. I'm not gonna change my game. I don't care what they say. My gain is one. I'm gonna keep it that way. It's not like I go around and do all kinds of stupid shit, but I got to take my time to think about what they guys gonna do against me.
By the way, because the pitchers do have a huge advantage. Strikeouts are at an all-time high. The hitters want to take every edge and every amount of time and every stall they can make. The funny thing is, David Ortiz talked about this for 22 minutes and swore a lot more than that. That was his only quote on it. Like, imagine going, God, I got to get out of here. I want to get to Red Lobster for dinner, and he's still talking about this. That's how it goes. He's upset. But he spits, too. How many Jays spit on their hands between every pitch? None of them do. Spitting.
Are you anti-spitting?
Well, it's when he does the handshake thing, it's kind of gross, yeah. Even though they're on batting gloves. What can you say?
854, we will get some reaction from Dunedin. We'll certainly talk about that tomorrow on Brady and Walker. We'll see how many Leafs get traded this afternoon.
Or during the game tonight. It's not a Mike Camilleri scenario. I don't think any during the game.
Brady Walker, 855. We will talk to you tomorrow.